Bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 10. In the B part of verse 10, the Word of God says, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am come that they might have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. God's plan for our lives is not just to give us life. It's to give us more abundant life. And there is an abundant life, and then there is a life. Every born-again believer has life. Not every born-again believer has abundant life. If we was to ask a group of born-again believers, how many of you have what you would consider abundant life, an abundance of life in your experience on a daily basis? I don't know that many would really say that they did. I'm sure that some would. But if they do not, it's because there's something that they haven't received and they can receive. They can receive abundance of life. Now, the enemy does not want us to have abundance of life. And he will try as best as he can, in the A part of that verse, to take away, to rob us of that abundance of life. But Christ came that we may have life, and that we may have it more abundantly. That has always been the plan of God for the believer's life. No matter what the details of the plan, no matter what the circumstances are that my life encounters, the plan has always been abundant life. God desires to give us abundant life. Now, that may come through ways that we don't necessarily anticipate. Amy Carmichael was laid up flat on her back for 20 years. She sensed a call to go to China after she had spent a long time in India. She sensed a call to go to China, and the next thing that happens is she is laid out on her back. She encounters an illness 20 years. 20 years. I wonder, in those 20 years, what points of time did she say, am I ever going to get to China? Or worse, am I ever going to get out of this bed? Did she say to herself, my life has got to be over now, and this is going to be the remainder of my existence? So she took a map of China because she had a burden for China, and she taped it on her ceiling. And as she was laying for 20 years on her back, she was looking and praying at China for 20 years. What do you think happened in China after 20 years of preparatory prayer? Because she eventually did get to China. She had an amazing move of God meet her there. See, abundant life may not necessarily come with expected circumstance. But the circumstance is not what determined the life. Abundant life was what was produced in her, in her circumstances, by the Holy Spirit. And so, my circumstances don't dictate my life. Sometimes we think that our circumstances dictate our lives. Sometimes we think that our circumstances define our lives. Well, Amy Carmichael proved differently. The circumstances did not dictate her life. Her illness did not dictate her life any more, as it turned out, than her magnificent ministry had in India prior to that. That didn't define her life either. Her life was defined by what she had going on with the Savior. That defined her life. Whether she was having an amazing ministry in India or in China, or whether she was laid up on her back for 20 years, her life was defined by what she had going on with the Savior. That's what defines our lives. What do we have going on with the Savior? Do you have lots going on, although your circumstances may keep you in a tight place? then you've got an abundant life. Or maybe your circumstances don't have you in a tight place, but you don't have much going on. What do you have going on with the Savior? That will determine your life. Amy Carmichael had a tremendous life with God, laid up for 20 years, flat on her back. That's a long time, 20 years. And I imagine there must have been questions that came to her mind, and I'm sure the enemy tried to take advantage through projections. But she had abundant life. And the fruit of her life revealed the source of her life. By the way, the fruit always reveals the source. This is one of the ways that we can check our own lives. Healthy introspection, not unhealthy. Examine yourselves to see if you are in the faith. Well, how do I examine myself? I examine the fruit of my life. That will reveal to me the source that I'm drawing from. If I have the fruit of the Spirit in my life, then I am drawing from the Spirit. If I don't have the fruit of the Spirit in my life, then I'm drawing from another source. So I ask myself, in my own details, in my own experience, do I have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance, goodness, and all the various manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit? If I can say yes, then the Holy Spirit is my source regardless of the circumstances that I'm living under. If I can say no, then the Holy Spirit is not my source and I need to change my source. It's not difficult to change a source. You just have to decide. By the way, anybody listening on the internet, if you cannot say that you have the fruit of the Spirit, then the Spirit's not your source, but that's not an impossible situation in any measure. It's a very easy thing to correct. The first thing you do is you start drawing near to the Word of God. If you are in a place where you are not receiving richly from a pulpit, then find a pulpit where you are receiving richly. If you are in a place where such a pulpit is not perhaps even available, and there are places like that, well, we've got a lot of messages online. Start receiving from those messages. Baltimore, our parent ministry, has a boatload of messages online and they live stream the messages. Follow our link to Baltimore's website. I'll just give it to you, ggwo.org. And you'll be able to live stream excellent messages and a phenomenal message library. If you are not someone who has the fruit of the Spirit in your life, make the Spirit of God your source. And then you will have the fruit of the Spirit in your life, and it's not going to take very long. You will progressively grow, but you will also recognize in yourself some rapid changes. So get the Word of God. That's your starting point. Get the Word of God. I'm not going to give you the next step because the Holy Spirit will lead you into the next step. All you need to do is take a step. And so, get the Word of God. The Word of God says in Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means that He is no different today than He was 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 5,000 years ago. At the beginning of creation, all the way to eternity past, He is exactly the same. He has not changed. So what does that mean practically? That He is love, was love, always has been love. That when He thought of you, in eternity past, because God conceived you before the world began, before the foundation of the world, God conceived you. Well, the mind of love conceived you. And so everything regarding you is built within the love of God. Because love conceived you prior to the foundation of the world. Why? Because Jesus Christ is the same. He's the same right now. His thoughts toward you right now are of good and not of evil. Do you believe this? His thoughts toward you right now, at this very moment, whatever condition you are in, His thoughts toward you right now are of good and not of evil. He is the same. He loves you right now just as much as He did when He conceived that you would be alive. His thoughts toward you have not changed, nor will they ever change. He is the same forever. They will never change. You will always be the beloved of God. You will always be accepted in the beloved. You will always be the apple of His eyes. You will always be precious in His sight. He will always love you with everlasting love. He will always keep you. He will always call you His beloved. It doesn't matter what the circumstances or the details of your life are. That is never going to change. So any condemnation that may try to creep into your life, the fact that there is no condemnation, in other words, condemnation with God does not exist, that is not going to change. Satan is the author of condemnation in his effort to rob, to kill, and to destroy. God does not condemn. God does not condemn. We condemn ourselves. If we're unsaved, we're already condemned because of ourselves. But God does not condemn. We need to understand that. God does not condemn. He is the same. The same yesterday. He is the same today. He is the same for all eternity. He does not condemn. All aspects of God are eternal. Let me give you an example. God breathed into us the breath of life. At that point, in the natural life that we possess that came from God, we have endless life. Life that will not end. But that is not the quality of eternal life. Life that had no beginning. Through the cross, we have a life with no beginning and no end. And so we live in the eternal life, not in the endless life. The endless life we possess by being biological organisms. All living things possess that endless life that possess the breath of life. But not all living things possess eternal life. Life with no beginning and life with no end. Eternal life, the experience of it, comes through the cross. Not every Christian possesses the experience of eternal life. Every Christian possesses endless life. For that matter, every unbeliever possesses endless life. And unfortunately for unbelievers, unless they get saved, their endless life will be in torment. But the believer who goes to the cross has eternal life. Now the fact that I can have the life of Christ in Galatians 2:20 through the cross shows me two things. Number one, it shows me the nature of the cross. And number two, it shows me the result of the cross. All too often, we don't understand the cross. How many people out there thing that the cross is suffering? How many people out there think that the cross is the burden? How many people out there think that the cross is self-denial? The cross is none of those things. The only one who suffered on the cross was the Savior. The Savior did not suffer on the cross so that I would suffer with the cross. The Savior suffered on the cross so that when I suffer in various circumstances of my life, I have a provision for eternal life. When I don't suffer, I have a provision for eternal life. That's the cross. The cross is what takes me from a temporal experience to an eternal life experience. We embrace the cross because the cross is our hope in time. We won't need to embrace the cross in eternity, because in eternity we will already be like Him. But in time, we embrace the cross. However, that doesn't mean that there is no cross for us in eternity. It's not the same embrace. The cross always has been. The cross is now, and the cross always will be. In the garden, there was a cross. In heaven, there will be a cross for us also. But it's not a burden and it's not suffering. Nor is it that now. It's a provision for eternal life. Perhaps instead of the cross, we should rename it with the name God gives it for the garden and for heaven. Because we have this thing that we are anticipating, and we have this thing that we once possessed. But in reality, we still possess it, but in a different manifestation. In John chapter 7, verse 38, the Word of God says, "He that believeth on Me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Can you imagine rivers of living water? The belly there speaks of the emotions. Out of his emotions, go figure, out of his emotions flow rivers of living water. How many people's emotions have rivers of living water flowing out of them? Well, it's a part of abundant life. Do your emotions have rivers of living water flowing out of them? Ask yourself, do my emotions have this? If not, then there's an adjustment that can be made whereby they will be flowing out of your emotions. He says, he continues in verse 39, "But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive." It's through the Spirit of God that I have rivers of flowing water flowing out of me. How does that happen? Well, I receive the Word of God and God's illumination that the Holy Spirit imparts to my life, and that Word of God imparted to me starts to produce these rivers of living water in my emotions. Now, this water has always been present, and it always will be present. In John chapter 4 and verse 14, the Word of God says, "Whoever drinks of the water that He gives will have eternal life. He will never thirst again." Now, let's take a look at what that means. Rivers of flowing water. How does that get produced? In Exodus 15:25, Israel came up to a source of water. But the water was bitter. It was not drinkable. If you drank it, it would kill you. So God told Moses, take a tree and put it in the water. So Moses took a tree, put it in the water, and then the Word of God says that the waters were made sweet. In other words, the waters were now life-sustaining. What was the tree? How many people want to say the cross? In Genesis 2:9, the Word of God says that the tree of life was placed in the garden. We find in Genesis chapter 3 that the tree of life is the source of eternal life. The tree of life is the source of eternal life. It was in the garden. It was there all along. And Adam and Eve were eating from the tree of life. In Revelation 22:2, in the midst of the street, there's a street on either side of the river. So there's a river that proceeds from the throne of God, and there's a street on either side of the river. And lining that street and the river are trees of life. And they bear 12 manners of fruits. What does that mean? That the tree of life will be present for me in heaven also. In Revelation 2 and 3, when the Word of God talks about the overcomer, one of the gifts to the overcomer is that they will eat from the tree of life. In verse 7 of chapter 2. So, that means that the cross, let's keep in mind, the cross is today's tree of life. The cross was yesterday, the cross was today, and the cross is forever. The cross is yesterday, the cross is today, and the cross is forever. So our common understanding of the cross, is it the tree of life? Or is it a burden? I don't know how many times I've run into believers who think that the cross is a burden. You bear your burdens, that's your cross. You bear your trials, that's the cross. You bear your hardships, that's the cross. No, it's not. None of those things have anything to do with the cross. Christ's cross was difficult. Our cross is life-giving. We're not bearing Christ's cross. Jesus didn't say to pick up my cross and follow me. He said, pick up your cross and follow me. That means pick up your provision for eternal quality of life. Pick up your provision for the same quality of life that God has as He is in heaven right now. That's the cross. Yet, we have this funny response sometimes when it comes to preaching on the cross, and I really think it's because we don't get what the cross is. How do I pick up a cross? I receive the Word of God. The ministry of the Holy Spirit takes the Word of God, applies it, and integrates it into my frame of reference. As my frame of reference changes, so does my thinking. My thinking will then determine my experiences. That's called theantric action. Theantric action pushes aside the effects of the old sin nature and brings in the effect of God's nature. As I live in God's nature, I have the cross in my life. So I'm not walking around in an ascetic trip trying to deny myself. I'm not doing spiritual calorie counting with my spiritual cell phone, with that spiritual app, scanning all the spiritual UPCs. To see how many spiritual calories do I get here. Instead, I have a much easier road to go. I have the abundant life that comes with a healthy hefty diet in the Word of God. You can eat as much of that as you like. You know what will happen? You'll get fat, but in the right way. Your soul body is going to get huge. And that's exactly what you want. Picking up a cross is simply allowing God to produce something in us. And the result of it is His life in our experience. So the cross is for yesterday, for today, and forever. Practical application. That means that I have eternal life relative to my yesterdays. I have eternal life relative to today, to right now. And I have eternal life relative to all my tomorrows. In other words, I have an eternal condition of eternal life. And this becomes my experience through the practical application of the cross. And so we have this quality of life that's brought to us when we start getting into the Word of God. That's where it starts. The decision is not that I'm going to somehow in my mind, in my imagination, picture myself with this hunk of wood on my back. The decision is that I'm going to pick up my Bible and I'm going to start reading. I'm going to turn on messages from the pulpit and I'm going to get a healthy diet every single day of the Word of God. The end result of that will be a functional cross in my life, producing a practical experience of God's quality of life in my daily details. My circumstances will have no effect on it because it's not determined by my circumstances, it's produced by the Holy Spirit. So we keep going to eternal life, we keep picking up a cross, but not through some strange self-denial effort, but through the receiving of God's Word. And the cross is produced. When I have that, I start to experience resurrection life. Resurrection life is that life which I get in Ephesians 2:6 as I'm raised together with Christ in heavenly places. Is that your experience? If not, it can be. It can be every believer's experience in every detail of their life. That they have an abundance of resurrection life. That's what that John 10:10 abundant life is talking about. You could say, I came that they have life and that they may have resurrection life. Because that's what He gives us. That is that abundant life, that resurrection life. The same life, not that He experienced on earth, but that He's experiencing at this very moment. That's the life He came to give us. That's the life that's intended for us. That's why He came, so that we may have that quality of life. And we don't have it just now, we don't have it just tomorrow, we have it for all eternity. His life in us. When we are seated above in heavenly places, in Him, we're seated above all principalities and powers. We're seated above all problems. We're seated above all circumstances. We're seated above all conditions. We're seated above everything. Nothing can touch us. You get people who have trouble within their family. It doesn't touch you when you have this quality of resurrection life. And it may seem like a pipe dream to some because they're in the midst of this, living in a natural life. But pick up the Word, mix faith with it, and God will start producing that life in your heart. It's there. It's available. Do you see why pulpits nowadays are so attacked by the devil? Why the devil has gotten the pulpits in some cases to be in the place where there is barely the Word of God present, where maybe they'll give a nod to the Bible and they'll discuss a movie. I don't know how many times I've heard of preachers preaching about a movie. Well, you know what? There's plenty of pulpits that preach the Word of God. There's plenty of pulpits that preach the full counsel. There's plenty of pulpits that preach it the way it is. There's no one who needs to live in a desperate condition because of the lack of the Word. All I need to do is receive. And that's it. All I need to do is receive. And even if I'm in a position like Amy Carmichael where I can't even get out of bed, well, nowadays with the internet, that's not even a problem. I may not have the direct fellowship of the body as richly as if I'm hid in the body in a practical way where I'm able to be out, but I can still receive all the benefits of the Word. I can still be sustained. And I get it by simply taking that step into the Word of God, and then I keep going. The key here there is that I keep going. I never quit. I keep going in the Word of God. Even if your emotions aren't responding to it, it's not about emotional responses. It's about the effect that it has in my heart as the Holy Spirit takes the Logos, the spoken Word, and turns it into Rhema, the illuminations of the Word for my life. As that takes place, I have something to live by in Matthew 4:4. As that takes place, I have a source of eternal life. As that takes place, I start to experience a cross, not just for today, but that was there yesterday, took care of all my yesterdays, that is there right now, takes care of my present, and that will be there tomorrow to take care of my future. Amen.